Do you want hunger for His Word? That's why we're doing this together. We're reading passages during the week that will be taught on that Sunday and then meditating on what God highlights. For me, one thing that just surged my heart to pursue His Word even more last year was reading through Psalms, but particularly Psalm 119. And I'm going to read a couple verses out of that chapter. It is the longest chapter in the Bible. It has 20-some sections to it, just one chapter. And every verse has an emphasis on God's Word, His commandments, His principles, His precepts. For example, in Psalm 119, verse 11, it says, "Your Word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you." And that's a theme out of 1 John today, that it's the Word of God that empowers us so we don't sin against Him. This Bible is for every generation, and I speak to young men and young women today. That verse 9 says, "How can a young man or woman keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your Word." That digging in deeper in God's Word is a key for us, no matter what age, but this was specifically written to young men and women to walk in purity. I'm trying to help you meditate in God's Word by providing a little, some key points out of today's message with some fill in the blanks. There's some pens back there. If you or your neighbor don't have a pen, to fill in a few blanks and write notes here on the back and so forth. John actually gives several just upright reasons why he's writing this letter, 1 John. In our last verse of last week was verse 4 of chapter 1. And he said, "I write this to make our joy complete." That "our" being, he was talking about how we will fellowship, we as our fellowship together, us, and then you, the churches he was speaking to. And this is going to make our joy complete. Well, who doesn't want that? A life where our joy is complete. This is a key that we have fellowship with God, with one another. And it's the life of God. We talked about the Zoe life. It's the koinonia, this deep fellowship, close communion together. And all this results in joy. Today's passage in this part two of the series is 1 John chapter 1, starting at verse 5 through chapter 2, verse 2. And I am believing that this series will build on each other, and the life in God's Word will just bear more fruit and joy in your heart and life. And so, hey, if you missed last Sunday, go back to the video, watch it, catch up on that today. Now, in one of the verses of our passage today is chapter 2, verse 1. And he gives another reason why he wrote this letter for us. It says this, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin." And so as you're looking in to fill in the blanks, we've got, why did John write this letter? Well, so far, he'll give more reasons later, to make our joy complete, and so we will not sin. I like these purposes so far for this letter. I want this for my life. Now, this isn't an expectation from the Apostle John that all believers will live perfect lives and never sin again once they become a believer. In fact, you'll see in this letter how he's encouraging us, listen, be honest about your sins, even as a believer. Don't hide them. Don't deny them. Have a humility. Confess them, and you'll see what I will do with your life when you approach life this way. So it's not that here's a kind of famous quote to summarize this point. It's not that we are sinless, but that we sin less. See, it's a purifying process, and you'll see that in these scriptures today. It's a journey that we're on, and God is walking us through it. And praise God, there's a process, there's a journey. He gives us a way. Let's find it. Let's live it. Let's be obedient as obedient children to Him. I'm going to ask you again this Sunday to stand as I read our key passage together. You can listen as I read it. It's the NIV version of 1 John 1, starting at verse 5 through chapter 2, verse 2. Well, God bless the reading of your holy word. Verse 5. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, give us a spirit of revelation and wisdom with your word of life today. Amen. You may be seated. So we're going to do a verse by verse. We will look at each verse of this passage. We don't always have the time to do that in this series, but we will today. And I'm going to squeeze it in as much as I can, as fast as I can. Let's look at verse 5. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Well, this is the first of another God is statement in 1 John. It'll be later on, I believe, in chapter 5 where he said God is love. So God is light, God is love. And so this tells us what God is like. This is part of His essence, not just one of His many attributes. But this is who He is. Let's look at the Greek word for light. It's phos. It means the nature of God. Pure, brilliant, shining, luminous. It's the source of this energy of light. It's not just light itself, but the source of light. It's a popular word in the New Testament, 73 times in all of the New Testament, 23 in John's Gospel, 6 times in this letter, 1 John. But listen to this comparison. As we did some Greek word studies last week, we'll do a few today. And what I want to make you aware is these are words that John uses more than anybody else in the New Testament. For example, in the Gospel, Matthew 7 times, Mark 1 time, Luke 7 times, and as I said, in John's Gospel, 23 times. This is a key that he highlights. It's a theme that he loves. So let's understand more about what John thinks about God as light when he speaks to it in his gospel. So we'll use his gospel, John, as a commentary to help us study 1 John. Let's go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and 1 John chapter 1 are so similar the way they begin. We already did this last week, the first 3 verses. We're talking about in the beginning was the Word, the Logos, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that is Jesus Christ. So we've read those first 3 verses. Let's go to verse 4. in him, Jesus, was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. And so we see a quick connection that life, the Zoe life of God is connected to the light of God. And that we learned last week that the life of God comes through the Logos, the Word of God. So these are central themes together. You can't have the life of God without the Word, and you can't have the light of God without the life of God. They all connect. Verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Folks, I stand in faith with you that the darkness that you're seeing around you, that you feel tempting you, is not more powerful than God, because he is light, and light overcomes darkness. It flees from it. It can't overcome it. Light is where we, that's where we stand. That's who we are. And I speak in faith today. I believe that for your life, our life, the church life, our ministries, that we aren't afraid of darkness, but no, light overcomes it. It has victory over darkness. Next verse, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This isn't John the Apostle. This is John the Baptist, who was a forerunner to lay the groundwork for the hearers as Jesus came. They were cousins, in fact, when Jesus started his ministry. Verse 7, he came, John the Baptist did, as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives life to everyone was coming into the world, and that was Jesus' ministry starting as John really reached a peak, Jesus' ministry started. But it's interesting that really John the Baptist is a model for us, that we are light carriers, and God sends us to plant seeds, to show light, to reveal the life of God and the Word of God to people as seeds planted so he can water, so then he can bring a change in their light. We go first, and God works with the light that we bring to other people. We're in partnership. We have a role like John the Baptist did. Jesus is recorded in the Gospel of John as he's preaching to the crowds, to the people. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Let's keep reading 5 and 6. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. These are some strong words, and I want to spend some time on this as we keep going through these next few verses, because walking in darkness is described in these two verses as claiming, as one, when one, someone is claiming, they're claiming one thing but living another. And that's just a form of hypocrisy. And yet I find even in my own life that in watching the body of Christ for 40 years, hypocrisy can creep in on any of us. That there's these kind of degrees of hypocrisy where maybe it's because I'm just so busy in life that I don't slow down enough and see what I'm really doing and saying in my attitude. I don't even realize my attitude and my behavior sometimes. Or it could be that our flesh just doesn't want to humble itself, and we're resisting humility, and so we deny what's really going on inside us with our motivations, with our attitudes, or with our behaviors. It could be that we live with blinders and we really don't want to take an honest look at them. And so I say this to say that it's something that we're tempted, all of us are tempted to go this way, is to claim one thing but live another. And it's starting to walk in darkness or get in shadows. I am blessed by the younger generation, and one key value of theirs is humility, honesty, and authenticity. And I heard this again on the phone early this week. I was on the phone with four younger ladies in our church. It was after the kids' bedtime. We were doing a five-way phone call to do some planning for a women's event in the spring, Saturday, April 26th. And as we were talking about who to bring in as a speaker, what type of speaker would the ladies want, it'll be in the morning, it'll be a brunch, and so it'll end around lunchtime. And the comments from the ladies was around someone being real, being authentic with us. When I mentioned Diana Cahill's name, that's what they remember about her. She spoke here on Mother's Day, and she was just very honest about the brokenness and the losses of her own life. She's an amazing lady, how God has restored her in so many ways, and she's a resource to build people up. She's a life coach and a leadership coach. I've been with her on the Father's Love Board to see her wisdom and come out of her mouth and her leadership. It's quite amazing. So we're excited about her in this April 26th event. But I bring this up because this is why we say we want to be authentic in worship. That we're genuine when we close our eyes, when we're genuine when we raise our hands or kneel, whatever it is, that this is genuine. We're not trying to impress anybody. This is between us and our loving Father. In John's letter, he says, we lie and do not live out the truth. He used the word lie six times in this little letter. So, and that's the kind of straightforward talk that he gives. He writes with the straightforwardness just directly. He doesn't want to spend a lot of time going beating around the bush. And let's not forget who the father of lies is. John in his gospel tells us who he is, and it's John 8:44. Jesus is preaching. He says, for there is no truth in him, that is in Satan. When he lies, he speaks his native language, of fill in the blank there, for he is a liar and the father of lies. His very native language, what he and how he says things, he can't speak the truth. His native language is lies. It's always got to have a twist. It's always got to be out of balance to deceive. It's always got to have an ulterior motive to lead you into darkness. And I tell you folks, and I was going to preach it to young people this morning, but it's not a young person problem. We need to stop lying as the people of God. That bad habit of just, we'll just say whatever, we'll please them, say whatever they want to hear, say whatever to keep them off your back and try to, look good. It's not just a young person problem, but may the Holy Spirit convict each generation, each of us. Listen, let's just be honest. It takes humility. It's hard sometimes. You have to work up courage. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be humble. I'm going to just say it exactly what I've done here. What's going on? I'm going to be humble. I'm going to be honest. Let's go back into the letter again, starting at verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, verse 8, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So this walking in darkness produces a deceiving. We don't see it. We have blinders. It's a selfishness. And others may see it, but we don't. It's a waywardness, kind of just slipping away. It's a lawlessness. It can just be, hey, I don't listen to what my bosses say, I don't listen to what my teachers say, I'm going to do whatever I want, I'm just a rule breaker, I don't care, it doesn't matter that these are authorities in my life, I'm just going to do whatever I want, and then this, what does this do? You're not going to have joy. That's one of the purposes of this book, and this is the open door for more sin in your life, and all that just produces more discouragement, guilt, and shame. It's just an unending path down the wrong road of walking in darkness versus walking in light. Have you noticed this pattern? That someone who's not walking in darkness and honesty and they're hiding something, they get more distant from Christian friends or the body of Christ. They don't answer texts. They don't come to church as much. You call them to check on them and they don't want to talk much. It's a distancing. Because once where there was fellowship with one another, close communion, and you could felt your relationship getting deeper as you trust God together and pray for one another. Now they're hiding something for whatever reason, and there's a walking away from it in little ways. So then hopefully they'll just get that out of the mind, but it just leads to isolation, being alone, which is where the devil wants us. That's why those sheep, God's sheep, and the shepherd's sheep, when they get off alone, that's what the wolves are just waiting for. Just try to get one of them alone, because then they're easy pickings. Not from the protection of the love and prayer support of the body of Christ. Let's talk about this word truth, another powerful Greek word that John uses. It's called aletheia, another beautiful name. Zoe was a beautiful name for life here, truth. Aletheia is a beautiful name. And it's truth in reality, not, oh, this is your truth. And in today's culture, what you perceive, whatever you think is your truth. And no, there is truth in reality. And Jesus, in his word, is truth. It's a divine truth revealed to man in its fullness as embodied in Jesus. It appears in the New Testament 109 times, 25 in the Gospel of John, 9 times in 1 John. Again, when you compare the Gospels to each other, this word only appears in Matthew once, Mark 3 times, Luke 3 times, but John 25 times, revealing another strong theme in our letter. Let's go to the commentary of 1 John, the book of John, or vice versa, or whichever one you're reading. John chapter 3, that's the Gospel of John. Looking at verse 19 through 21, he breaks this out very clearly. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes in the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. So the light of truth exposes falsehood, evil deeds, malicious motives. But I want to expound on this word expose, because it's not, again, we've already prayed over this, right? It's not that he's a angry, mean father. I gotcha. I expose you. I'm going to humiliate you. And some of us live with this image of the Father that he just wants to catch us and prove that we were wrong all along and discipline us and give us a punishment. That's not the motive of the Father. He does do this out of love to reveal the truth, because hiding something, concealing something, denying something is not helping at all. So it's he's revealing something. He's bringing it to light. So that the light can heal, the light and his life can now restore and heal and deliver you from this darkness. Where did we ever get the concept that we can fool God? That we can trick God? Surely for a time we can fool friends, for a short time, family members, but it's just going to come to light. Particularly those who live with you, people who know you, they're going to notice something. They're going to sense something different. It's really not a truth that you can just hide something long term. It's going to be revealed out of the love of God to give you a chance to come back to your senses or to get that area right with God and healed and restored. There's something here that I want to dig into, and that is that sin comes along with some baggage, particularly guilt and shame. So there's three things that God wants to rid of in your life: sin, and then the resulting guilt and shame. And so I want to encourage you, please don't hold on as a pious person might, wanting to work extra hard to get their life right. I'm going to hold on to a little guilt, and I'm going to hold on to a little shame to beat me a little bit here, to discipline me and remind me, don't you do that again, Stephen. Don't you go back there. Don't you did it. You keep, and you just keep little whips of a little bit of guilt, a little bit of shame. What? That's not the way of God. He wants to cleanse us from sin, guilt, and shame. That pride can be as sneaky as, well, I'm just hiding this because I don't want to hurt anybody. I'm hiding this because I don't want to get embarrassed. And it's a pride that you're not willing to find someone you trust. You can, because God has at least one, if not more, of persons that you can trust to be honest and to go ahead and humble yourself, and you reveal what you're hiding. And when you do, then that's the beginning to break the sin bondage, to break the guilt, the chains of guilt and the shame patterns. Hiding it protects it and keeps it there. That's where the devil wants it, in darkness. See, there is a promise out of Romans 8:1. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that's a promise God wants you to stand on. Let me give you an example. This has been about 6-7 years ago. And I was letting discouragement just set in on me, and I would beat myself up, and it was a cycle I was in. And I asked Larry Southard to pray with me about it, because I knew this needed to break. I don't want this a part of me. And we were asking the Lord to heal the root of this. And an image came to me where I'm beat and wearing myself down, and my head was on a desk like this. It was in the image, it was my desk in my office. And then Jesus came up to me and put his arms around me for two reasons. One is to console me, comfort me. Secondly, was to protect me, my mind, from myself. It was like saying, stop beating yourself up. He was covering my head like, stop doing this to your own mind. And so that's a commitment we got to say, yes, well, Lord, when we repent, we're repenting of it all. We're getting cleansed of it all, of the sin, guilt, and shame. We're not going to be holding on to something God doesn't want us to hold on to. Here is a scripture that gives you the authority to walk in this freedom every day. 1 John 1:9 and 10, the next verse. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, how much unrighteousness does he cleanse us of and purify us of? All. And that includes that guilt and shame, those little partners, that baggage that goes along with the sin. He wants it all cleansed and washed away. He wants you free from all of it. So God is looking for humility, that we're willing to confess our sin, and then also willing to not live in a state of hiding things and not claim, hey, well, I haven't sinned. Everything's okay. Everything's hunky-dory. Don't worry about me. Well, you know, I really haven't had a bad day. I really don't know, you know, what your means, Stephen. I mean, I don't do, you know, sin all the time every day. And I'm praise God for that. That's great. That's what we are living for and striving for, freedom in Christ. And yet God wants us to have an awareness and a humility that His purity runs deep. That pretty much always there's something that could be more pure in maybe not our actions and behaviors, because we're really working on that, but in our attitudes and our motivations and something stirring underneath, that He is working a deeper work. One thing that I'm not going to jump into today, and we got plenty to talk about, but I have found when I've studied loving others, agape love, and we will in chapters repeatedly here going on in 1 John here later on, that His love is deep. And though I think, oh, I'm loving that person, He'll show me, you're doing better than you used to, but here's my kind of love. And He takes you in deeper to be more like Him. That's what I'm talking about. It's been said many years, many ways, really reflecting off of David, that God's work of forgiveness is like soap. And David, in Psalm 51, is the psalm of repentance after he's committed adultery with someone else's wife, killed her husband, and then lied about it for about a year. And he writes in Psalm 51, "Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being." Yes. "And in the hidden part, you will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." See, that is hyssop, was their cleansing agent that they had in those ancient times. And he's bringing this imagery together, that this cleansing has taken the dirtiest person, and think of a warrior out in battle for weeks on end, how dirty those guys got. And they came back from battle smelling and stinking and dirty. They needed cleansing. What's your type of soap? Do you use some facial cleansing? Something gentle for your smooth face so you don't increase the wrinkles on your face? And is this it? Is this a tender area in your life and you need, say, some gentle cleanser? Do you ladies have something that smells nice so you smell good coming out of shower there, and this is a restoring, not of just the cleansing, but the beauty and the smell and the aroma and the beauty of that? You're a guy that just likes the Irish Spring, just get in there and suds it up and wow, just let it clean that dirt from all day and the sweat and looking and smelling good afterwards. Or you need some heavy-duty stuff. This is beyond soap. This has got chemicals in it and all kinds of stuff to get the grease and tar, anything. It's going to get it out. Whatever it is, the blood of Christ is enough. Well, Stephen, you don't know how many times I've committed this sin. The blood of Christ is enough. It's strong enough. It's smelly enough. It restores. It's gentle enough. Whatever you need, it is enough. I've been in counseling and I've looked at them. Are you telling me that the blood of Jesus is not enough? You can be cleansed from this sin, shame, and guilt. Don't walk out of this room with it. His blood is enough. Stephen, you don't know how bad it was. Well, I know how bad David's was. He stole a man's wife, killed him, murdered him, and then he went on and lied about it for over a year and went into the temple. How many days a week? Raising his hands, praising God and all this, all of these sins he was hiding, and he was thinking that he could just cover it over and time would pass. No. The light will bring it to reveal it by the love of God so that you won't stay in this bondage and stay in these patterns. So these next and last two scriptures tell us, how can this be? How can we really walk in a place of freedom from guilt, shame, and sin? How can this be? It tells us how. This tells what the work that Christ has done and does for us so that we can live free. It's verses 1 or 2 of chapter 2. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for our sins, but for the whole world. See, he knew we weren't going to live a perfect life every day. He knew that layers of purity and holiness he was going to lead us in. He said, but if anybody does sin, we have an advocate. What did this advocate do? The Greek word advocate is parakletos. This word used in this way does not appear in other places except the Gospel of John and right here in 1 John. Four times in John's gospel, he calls the Holy Spirit a parakletos, a comforter, a one that comes alongside. So you're not alone. The Holy Spirit comes alongside. And now John, the same author, says Jesus is our parakletos. He's the one that comes alongside. And he's a defender. And in this setting, it's a legal court setting mentality. He is our defender, and in those days you could even have not only a defense attorney, but someone would volunteer and like be a witness, but they are defending you. They are being a witness for you. So in the courtroom in the spirit, this is how it worked out for us. We have Satan saying, Stephen Riley, he has sinned. This is what he did, Judge. Look, this is what he did. My representative is the advocate, is Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, sir, it is correct. Stephen has done those things. He has sinned. And the devil's like, I've caught him. He's excited. But the advocate, Jesus says, but Dad, I love Stephen. Father says, son, I love Stephen too. But there has to be punishment. The punishment of sin is death. And the results of sin comes shame and guilt. Jesus says, Father, no problem. I will go and be the atoning sacrifice. In fact, I've already done it. I've already done it. I've already paid his price, taken his punishment. I am the one who died for Stephen. I've thought about this verse. You hear it in messages. You hear it in altar calls. That would Jesus Christ come to earth and die on the cross if it was just you? if it was just me. He did it for the whole world, right? I mean, it said, John says this in a couple places. This light is for all. This life is for all. It's offered to all. But I meditated on this, and in my heart, I believe he would. He would come for just me. And he would die for me, and he would say, Father, the penalty, the punishment's already been taken. I've taken it. And then the Father says, okay, the judgment has been rendered. The punishment has been taken. Case closed. Stephen, you are free to go and be free from this sin and shame and guilt. Just be free of it. Don't walk around with it. Don't hold on to it a little bit. You are free. Jesus has done the work. And folks, I see this as a daily thing. This in the sense, this work is done in the spirit. This is what happens. That's why we can. It wasn't just a one-time sacrifice, but it's a sacrifice that works continually. And we continually just come and say, Father, I humble myself. Please forgive me. You're forgiven. You're washed clean. That's the power of the blood. I'm going to ask the praise team to come up, and I'm asking the Holy Spirit to speak to you. There's a few questions I'd like to mention here and do this throughout the series. And during this time of this song, and as you go into meditating on some piece of this passage today, this is what I want to ask you. How do you want me to obey this passage? Holy Spirit, who do you want me to share this passage with? And then with whom do you want me to share my testimony or the gospel with? This is a powerful little letter. The gospel has so many similarities. I encourage you, if you're looking for more to read, because we're just going through a few verses each week, then read the Gospel of John, and you'll get to know John and these key themes. You'll say, wow, you know, he really does have a passion for this light of God. He has a passion for this truth. Look at how he talks about it in both of his writings here. Next week, we'll go into 1 John chapter 2, starting at verse 3 through 11. Holy Spirit, how do you want us to obey this passage? What phrase, what truth, what word are you highlighting in our spirit? We don't want to be hearers only and walk away. We want to be hearers. Let the blinders come off. Respond in humility. Confess it to you. Because when we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us, purify us from all of that righteousness, unrighteousness. We wait on you. Go ahead.
Through every battle, through every heartbreak, through every circumstance, I believe that you are my fortress, who you are my portion, who you are my hiding place. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth,
Say a prayer of salvation for someone in here or online that doesn't know the Lord in a intimate fellowship, that feels that waywardness of drifting away from God, feel that hiding, and it's getting a little scary out there. And we have a phone number online that you can call for prayer for the next 30 minutes on Sunday morning. We have people here. I'll be here. You've got friends and others that want to pray for you. If you pray this prayer, or if you're coming back to the Lord, you've known Him when you were young or earlier, and just whatever in life, that darkness creeped in. So this is a prayer of either salvation or prayer of restoration of your life and heart to walk in the light. Lord Jesus, You are the light, and I want to give my whole life to You. You are the truth, and I want to walk in truth. I turn from my selfish and sinful ways. I turn towards You. And I, Lord God, believe that You died on the cross. You rose from the grave for me. And so with that, Lord, I believe I am now a child of God, or I'm now a restored child of God, able to just snuggle back into those loving arms of the Father, to walk in Your light and truth. Thank You, Lord, for filling my life with Your life today. You are blessed to have a great week. The Lord is with you. He is the Paracletos, the advocate, the comforter, the one that comes alongside.